If you would, turn over to the Gospel of Matthew. That's where we'll be spending most of our time this evening. From the book of Matthew, we're going to be touching on, as you might have seen in the news and notes, the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. We're going to look at a few concepts tonight about treasure, about value, about worth, things like that. When we talk about something's value or something's worth, usually a thing's value is determined oftentimes by your perspective. I've been at enough auctions in my life to have seen many sellers say, "I've spent my life accumulating these plates. They're my favorite plates. It's a collector set. I've spent years, I've spent hundreds, I've spent thousands of dollars collecting these plates. And you can't get a bidder to spend a dollar on a box." Well, to the seller, it's worth hundreds, thousands of dollars, years of effort, lots of thought, lots of devotion, lots of mental and physical energy to acquire those plates. And sometimes it's plates, and sometimes it's coins or guns or any number of items. That's the value to them. But to the people gathered around to buy, it might not be worth thousands or hundreds of dollars or years of effort. It might not be worth a dollar for the box. A thing's value, a thing's worth, is determined by your perspective on the thing. The question comes up, well, how much would you be willing to give up for that object? Whether that's at an auction for a collector's item, whether that's in buying a car, well, how much would you be willing to give for it? Any sort of transaction that we have in life is kind of this discussion of a thing's value or a thing's worth. And sometimes we use the expression that one man's trash is another man's treasure. Now, treasure has a little bit different connotation to it than when we discuss value or worth, or cost, or price. Treasure is a little bit more special word. Treasure is a word that we sometimes, imagine, a pirate movie. It's a buried treasure. It's a box full of gold. It's this cherished, special, valuable thing. A treasure is a thing that you don't part with. Now, you may have spent your life accumulating these plates, accumulating these collector's items, and if the price doesn't match what you want for it, you're going to treasure that thing and say, "I don't want to sell it. I'm going to hold on to it because it's not worth it to me to part with it. I'm going to treasure that thing. I'm going to hold it dear. I'm going to value it especially." The question then comes to us, what do we treasure? What is our treasure? What is our thing that we want to lay hold of and not part with at any cost? Do we value or treasure our job? Some of us are blessed to have a job, an occupation that we just love, and coworkers that we enjoy spending time with. And we just really value that job and treasure it and would not part with that job for anything. What about power or influence? Can you treasure that? Absolutely. You can treasure your reputation. You can cherish it to a point that you idolize it, perhaps. And of course, we can treasure things. As we talked about, this image of pirate treasure. We can treasure money. We can treasure our house. We can treasure land. Oh, I need to acquire this piece of land and never, ever, ever, ever part with it, because that's the most important thing. We can treasure our home. We can treasure people. We can value another person, whether that's a friend or a family member. But if we're not careful and we treasure them, we can end up, if we're not careful, making that the most important thing in our life. Whether it's an object, whether it's a person, whether it's a position or some concept like power or influence. So the question that I want to ask us tonight, what do we treasure? What will you hold on to above all else? What are you willing to part with? Everything else, but what's the one thing that you will latch on to and hold on to? Hopefully, to spoil the rest of the sermon, hopefully that thing is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. We're going to look at several different passages and parables, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, and look at what Jesus has to say about treasure, about value and worth, and parting with a thing at a certain cost. Now, we're looking at these in the Gospel of Matthew. Who was Matthew? Matthew was a man who understood a thing's cost. He was a tax collector. Matthew Levi, the son of Alphaeus, he was an influential man because he was a tax collector. He lived his life as a tax collector, and he knew a thing's value. He knew the value of a piece of property. There was a certain level of appraisal that went into his job. Appraisal of things, appraisal of property, appraisal of people. And that job certainly came with its own cost, if you will. It carried with it influence, and it carried with it wealth. But Matthew took that responsibility as a tax collector at the cost of his own reputation and at the cost of fellowship with his countrymen. We see throughout the Gospels the way that tax collectors were viewed. So I think Matthew knows, when he writes about treasure, when he writes about cost or value, I think Matthew knows what he's talking about. Now, of course, these are the words of Christ that we'll be looking at, but I think it's poignant to see how many times Matthew calls on these particular images. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verses 19 and following. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The point Jesus is making here in his Sermon on the Mount, Not to make our treasure the physical things of this world. Because the physical things of this world are passing away, and they will be destroyed, whether by moth, or by rust, or by time, or by the final destruction of the world. All things of this world will pass away. It's not worth setting your treasure upon the things of this earth, but rather, treasure that which is in heaven. Verse 20. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. I want to focus on verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Treasure isn't just an arbitrary value that's plucked out of nowhere. What we treasure has a connection with the thoughts of our heart, the intentions and the values that we esteem things to have in our heart. If we really value and esteem money, that is our treasure. And verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I can't treasure money as my number one and say, oh, well, my heart's for serving God. I love God. I'm serving God with my everything, but my treasure is the things of this world. No, Jesus points out that where we treasure things, that's where our heart is. They are linked. They are tied. The priorities that we set in our heart are borne out in the things that we treasure. Over in chapter 13, where Brother Evan read for us earlier, 13 verses 1 or 51 and 52. Have you understood all these things? And they responded to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This little parable here in verse 52 is a little confusing at first blush. But I want you to think about, if you go to someone's house and they bring something out to show you, are they going to bring out their trash can? Are they going to bring out their dirty laundry and show you things new and old? Or are they more likely to bring out, hey, let me show you my rare coin collection. Let me show you the pictures of my grandchildren. Let me take you in the garage and show you my new car. I think that's a little bit more likely. We tend to like to bring out the things that we treasure. We like to show those things off. We like to share those things with others. Now, verse 52, here Jesus has been giving parable after parable after parable with these meanings about what do we value. And he asks them if they understand the parables. When they respond yes, he says in verse 52, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven, that is, if you've studied the words of God, if you are understanding of the things of God, you are like a master of a house who can bring out of his treasure what is new and what is old. You can bring out and show off those things that you treasure. If you value the kingdom of God, if you value an understanding of God's word, you can bring that out. You can share that and show that with others. Not that it's bragging or boastful or selfish, but the things that we value are shown. You can tell what a person values, right? You can tell what a person treasures by the things that they talk about, the things that they spend their time on, the things that they spend their money on. That's what they treasure. If I spend every waking moment polishing my car, I can't very well say that God is my number one priority, but let me show you the wonderful things about my car. The things that we treasure, the things that we value, are borne out when we share them, when we show them and demonstrate them. Now, a little bit earlier in the chapter, verses 44 through 46, Jesus here gives another parable about value and treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and he sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, here Jesus gives two very short parables, but I think they're very poignant. I think that there's a good lesson to be learned here. With the treasure that's found in a field in verse 44, or the pearl of great price that's found in verse 45, what does the man or the merchant do in order to get that valuable thing? He parts with everything. He does away with all else. He sells all that he has to get the thing that's valuable, to get the thing that he treasures. Now, if he treasures the things that are formerly owned more than the pearl of great price, more than the treasure in the field, he's not going to part with the things that he owns, right? But because he treasures more the buried treasure or the pearl of great price, he's going to part with all other things in order to acquire the thing that he treasures. The point made, Jesus says the treasure is like the kingdom of heaven. Are we willing to part with things for the kingdom of heaven? Are we willing to sell off or sell out everything else? Is the kingdom of heaven worth getting to us? Or is it that's a nice thing. It'd be nice to have that, but I like my stuff too much. I like my other priorities too much. I like all the other things that I have going on in my life. And if I happen to acquire the kingdom of heaven, that's fine. And Jesus says that it ought to be worth parting with it all. In chapter 19, starting in verse 16, Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 16, we have the familiar story of the rich young ruler. We'll read through there. Behold, a man came up to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Well, which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All of these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We'll pause there for just a minute. The contrast is made here between this man's treasure. In verse 22, he had great possessions. And the treasure that is offered to him, which is treasure in heaven, verse 21. And which one is more important to this man? It's the treasure that he has on earth, his great possessions. It's not worth him to make that trade. It's not worth it to him to make that transaction. And so he keeps the things that he has and spurns the treasure of heaven. Now, Jesus continues to make a point in verses 23 down through 30. Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Jesus here points out this rich young ruler was not willing to part with the things that he treasured. And that's part of the point that Jesus is making in verses 23 and following. If you're not willing to part with this world's goods, that makes it hard to enter the kingdom of heaven. Nigh impossible. Now, we ought to be willing to part with this world's wealth and goods for the treasure of heaven. And I think sometimes we look at passages like this and we say, "I don't have treasure. I don't have great possessions." Well, we all have something that we treasure. We all have something that we value. We all have something that we value above all else. We sometimes look at the rich young ruler and say, what a pity, what a shame that he was not willing to part with his treasure, that he was not willing to part with his money. It sure is a good thing that God doesn't ask me to part with anything. That's not the case. It's simply not the case. We must be willing to part with whatever is going to stand in our way. Whatever idol we have set up. Whatever treasure gets between us and the treasure of the kingdom. We must part with it. Whether that's wealth and physical goods, or whether that's any number of other things. Over in chapter 10, starting in verse 37, Jesus there says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Verse 37 there, that's hard, is it not? Do you love your spouse? Do you love your parents? Do you love your children? I mean, you should. But do you love your children more than you love God? More than you love Christ? Have you treasured them more than you have treasured Christ? I think that is a dangerous thing. Do you treasure your parents above treasuring the things of the kingdom of God? That's a dangerous thing as well. We ought to be willing to forsake whatever treasure is going to get in our way. It's easy for me to say, oh, I would be willing to part with $10 million. It's easy for me to say that because I don't have $10 million to part with. But the things that I like, the things that I do in my own selfish will, the things that I devote my time and energy to, would I be willing to part with those? Am I willing to part with those? Am I parting with those? Not just willing to, but am I giving them up for the sake of the cause of Christ? That's the question. If I say, I'd give away $10 million for the cause of Christ, that doesn't mean anything. It's not a practical sacrifice because it's not a real thing. But am I giving up of the things that I do have available to me? Jesus here speaks of loving family more than loving God. If you had to make that choice, would you make the right call? It's worth it. Given that trade, given that choice, the kingdom of God is always worth it. It is always worth whatever treasure we have to give up in order to attain it. We have to give up things. We might have to give up people. But I want to point out one other thing that we might have to give up, that we do have to give up. There's no might. There's no maybe. There's no hypothetical to it. We must give up ourselves. A couple of passages that we've already seen in chapter 10 and verse 38. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Do I treasure myself? There are times that I do. And I imagine there are times that you do as well. We like to treasure ourselves. What's the most valuable thing in the world to you? Well, it's It's my life. It's my health. It's my enjoyment, my happiness. Well, if you had to give up your happiness in order to attain the kingdom of God, would you? If you had to give up your energy, if you had to give up your comfort for the sake of the kingdom of God, would you? Do you? We must take up our cross, as Matthew 10:38 points out. Chapter 19, where we saw the story of the rich young ruler. I find it interesting that after going through this episode, it's Peter who chimes in and says, "Look, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" I think this is characteristic of Peter. And Peter, to be fair, left his job, left his family, took up a kind of this migrant lifestyle, following Jesus, listening to his teachings. But you know what Peter didn't give up and wouldn't give up until after the death of Christ? His own self. Peter was not good at that. He liked to hold on to himself. He liked to hold on to, I want to be first in the kingdom of God. Here, we've left everything. What do we get? What a selfish view. Even in the familiar story of him denying Christ, someone who has argued with Jesus and said, "No, I'm better than the rest of these guys. I'll never forsake you." And hours later is cursing that he doesn't know the man. Peter wasn't good at giving up. He may have been good at giving up money, giving up jobs, giving up position, giving up relationships with others for the cause of following Christ. But he, not until after the resurrection, was Peter ever very good at giving up himself. That's the challenge for us. And in verse 30, I think it's poignant that this chapter ends, that Jesus is talking about making sacrifices, that it will be worth it. It will be worth it in the world to come. But verse 30, many who are first will be last, and the last first. I can't be certain, but I imagine that point is made directly to Peter here. That yes, you have given up many things, but you're going to have to give up yourself too. And over in chapter 16, starting in verse 24, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." We saw that in chapter 10, verse 38. Verse 25, "Whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We have to give up things. We might have to give up positions or jobs. We might have to give up relationships with certain people for the treasure of the kingdom of God. But are we willing to give up ourselves? Are we willing to be crucified? Verse 26 of Matthew 16. "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" We sang a song right before the lesson. The heaping up of riches to many seems life's goal. But we forget the thing that's going to last after we're dead. It's our soul. Not any amount of money is going to be worth that trade. It's not worth it to hold on to the things of this life if the things of this life is what we treasure. But the song that we're going to sing in just a minute, we have to give up ourselves. We're going to be singing all of self and none of thee, or none of self and all of thee. We have to give up ourselves. We like to hold on to our pride. We like to hold on to our will. And sometimes it's slow and sometimes it's difficult to give that up. But it is worth it. It is a worthwhile trade. It is worth it every time. What do we value? Do we value the kingdom of God? And we might say, sure, yeah, it's got some value to me. It's important to me. Well, do you have a treasure that is in your way that keeps you from the kingdom of God? Whether it's money, whether it's your own enjoyment, your own leisure and comfort. There are many things that can get in our way, and there's not one of them that's worth holding on to. What we ought to treasure above all else, the one thing that we can hold on to after this life is over, is the kingdom of God. Are you treasuring it? It's not a would you treasure it, it's are you treasuring it? Are you letting go of it all else? If you're not a Christian, for whatever reason, holding on to your pride, holding on to your fear, holding on to your sin, let it go. Trade it in. Take hold of that pearl of great price, that buried treasure, the kingdom of God. Now, if you're a Christian, you can hold on to your fear and your pride and your self-will just as much. We ought to be selling those things. We ought to be parting with them, because it is a worthwhile trade. It is always worth it to give up everything. Everything. To give up ourself and lay hold of the kingdom. If you need to do that, please do that as we stand and as we sing.